hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a fantastic day so far. Let's say hello to our pal, former Titans punter, Brett Kern, who is on the line with us. What's up, Brett?
What's up? How y'all doing?
You know, we're feeling pretty good today. I'm going to ask you a question that one of our listeners just asked us, because you look at this Titans offense and what Brian Callahan and his crew's wanting to do. It's different from when you were here, where everything kind of revolved around 22. Now it's you got all these receivers and Will Levis. And so the question was, what's more likely, a 1,000-yard rusher or 2,000-yard receivers? How would you answer that?
Is there the see all the above? Is that a possibility?
Maybe.
That was kind of my go-to in high school. When you didn't know the answer, you just said see all the above or D, whatever it was. I think there's an opportunity for all that to happen. I know there's a lot of guys, that are playing. A lot of targets there for Will, even for the running backs, out of the backfield. And I think it's going to be pretty distributed pretty evenly, right? And so I can see a lot of guys, potentially wide receiver. You're getting 50, 60, 70 catches. You might have, you want to say Calvin might, be able to go over 100 catches, but with that comes some yards too. And I think watching the other night against the Seahawks, that was super fun to watch. And I think, the powers that be have a lot of tough decisions to make, because there's so many guys that are just playmakers. And I think that's what Brian and his staff wanted, is they want to get the playmakers the ball. And there's plenty of guys to choose from. And so my answer will be all the above. The caller might not like that, but I think that's probably a safe answer, honestly.
Yeah, and you mentioned, some of those playmakers. I mean, you and I were texting about it a little bit. They have the tough problem of there's going to be some guys that I think they're going to try and sneak through to the practice squad that they're not going to be successful in doing that just because of the numbers game. I mean, right now, I think there's seven receivers on this team because of their ability to, play the position and also special teams.
Yeah, it's funny because I was just kind of taking notes throughout the game, and I wrote down five wide receivers, and then I put .. 6. And then at the end of the game, I said, maybe you keep 7. there's 7 potential wide receivers, right? What do you do at running back? Because I think the case between Chestnut, Haskins, right, and even the way Jabari played the other night was, I mean, he's a talented back, right? But then can you keep 5 running backs? That's tough. And Julius, he ran the ball really, really well. But then, you hear Haskins is maybe a core 4 special teams player. So is that somebody you really want to get rid of? And so I think the thing to keep in mind, too, is, when you make your cuts and you get your practice squad, you're trying to figure that out. When you cut somebody, if another team picks them up, they have to go to active roster, right? So, I know there's talks about Braden and, how well he kicked, and he kicked phenomenally, right?
Yeah.
But if you cut him, whoever picks him up, if they pick him up off waivers, he has to be on the active roster to start the season, right? I think it's 3 or 4 games. I'm not 100% sure on which one. But they have to go active, right? If they don't get picked up off waivers, now all of a sudden they're technically kind of a free agent, and now they can sign, if the Browns want him, right, they can sign him to the practice squad. Or if the Titans want him, say, hey, man, why don't you come back, and be on our practice squad. And so that's another thing to think of, especially if you're looking at cutting a veteran that can now go on practice squad. If you cut a veteran and he goes active, well, now if he's on the opening day roster, now his salary is guaranteed for the year, right? Which is something that a lot of teams maybe try to avoid. So I think, if you're looking at, receiver and you got Jaquan and Mason, right, they're very similar players. Are you going to have both of them active? There's 53 guys on the roster, right? But really 48 dress on Sunday. So are you going to have a very similar player with similar abilities, similar skill sets, right? Are you going to have them both active on a Sunday? I don't know, right? But if you cut both of them, are the odds that either one of them would get picked up on another team to go to an active roster, right? Do you think you can get both of them back on practice squad? So there's a lot to it. With D-Hop, is he coming back? Is how's his injury progressing? Is it something where he's starts out on short-term IR. That opens up a roster spot. Arden Key, you know, the suspension getting taken away. All of a sudden, now he's back. So now, you know, what do you – that might take away a roster spot from maybe another linebacker or somebody else. So there's kind of a lot that plays into it. And I think watching this kickoff is a huge dynamic of it, right? You're starting to get your bigger body types in there. I mean, I saw the Chiefs. They had the Australian football guy kick off. And you have Harrison Butker, the richest kicker in the league right now. And they had an Aussie guy hit the kickoff so he could sprint down there and pretty much play as a linebacker and fill the hole on kickoff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy to me, right, that they would do that. But that's where this play is at. It's literally a running play at the line of scrimmage. And so now you're getting big bodies. So before, you might say, hey, we're going to keep some corners, wide receivers, because they're speed. They can run out on kickoff, you know, punt, whatever. And now it's like, well, hey, you know what? Maybe we keep an extra D lineman, right? A center D lineman, or an extra outside linebacker, or an extra tight end, right? You know, so there's just a lot that goes into it. And I think this kickoff rule actually is really going to make a pretty substantial impact on your roster.
We're talking to Titans legend Brett Kern this morning on the Chase and McJoe Show. Brett, do you know where you rank in all-time yardage in the NFL for punters?
I mean,
I do.
There's a lot of guys that had a lot of punts and they logged some serious miles on their legs. So I hope maybe I'm top 30, maybe.
You are number 19.
19, okay.
46,136 yards. So you are 3 yards away from number 18. Titans need to sign you for just one punt so you can jump Gerald Wilson, who punted for the Chiefs in the 60s.
Well, you know, I'm helping out at my son's school in football, and I actually dusted off the cobwebs a little bit and hit 3 or 4 punts yesterday, and I think I could manage to get that. So, but I'm pretty content where I'm at. So,
you are third all time in yardage at 45.9. I find this fascinating when somebody is in a top 20 in a National Football League stat, and you are number 3 in yardage at 45.9. Did you know that?
That's awesome. I'm probably bottom 1,000 in the ability to do kickoffs after safety. So,
let me ask you this, Brett, because next week the Titans have a big cut down. A lot of guys be let go. When you were let go by the Broncos midseason, was that a shock? And was it John Elway who told you to get out of town? How'd that all work?
No, John actually wasn't even there yet. It was McDaniel's first year. It was weird because we started 6-0 and things were going really well. And, I knew that the special teams coordinator that was there at the time, I was actually competing against Britton Colquitt. And so, we were going at each other back and forth, and, you know, he knew Dustin really well. And so I think he probably felt a little bit more comfortable with Britton. And, but we just competed and competed, and so I was just kind of surprised when I got cut week 6, and it was obviously the best thing that, you know, ever happened to me, which was hard to really fathom at that time, knowing that we had a 5-week-old boy at the house, and here you are, you get cut, you lose your job, and you really don't know where you're going to go next. So I had the trash bag. I loaded that sucker up with as much as I could, even down to like Gatorade drinks and, you know, Gatorade bars, and like, man, I don't know if I'm getting another NFL paycheck, so I better load up. So, it's pretty crazy, but it's just, you could tell that week, is just, you know, next week with cuts coming, it's very, tense. And, thankfully there's 16 guys that can be on the practice squad. You know, when I got in the league, I think there was only 7 or 8. So, you know, there's a lot more guys that are going to be able to, you know, have the opportunity to continue their career through practice squad. You know, a lot of these guys got some really, really good reps, you know, the other night against the Seahawks. And I think it'll be great too for the starters to get some work in New Orleans, just because you don't really want to go a full month, without playing, you know, football, in a game. Right. So, but they'll have another opportunity, you know, against the Saints on Sunday. And, it's a good opportunity to probably try to figure out, obviously, your practice squad, and then maybe probably your last 3 or 4 that are going to get, you know, those spots from 49 to 53 on your roster.
Yeah, when you were – you're a man of deep faith. When you got let go by the Broncos, I mean, what was that like, the 24 hours like, Brett? A lot of prayer, a lot of why me? I mean, I'm just fascinated by the process because you did land in Tennessee and you were fantastic here, but it had to be that unknown for that before you got picked up here in Tennessee of like, all right, Lord, what next? Was it a lot of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was that's probably the first time that I realized, like, this business is pretty cutthroat, right, to get cut when you're 6-0 and off to a pretty good start to the season. It's just a cutthroat business, and that's the way it is. And so that was probably the first time that I really recognized that aspect of it. And, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously a man of faith, and I believe that everything, you know, happens for a reason under God's control. And so there's a lot of times where, you know, you ask why, and you don't really know why, and that's, you know, you just put your faith in him and your trust in him, knowing that, you know, he has what's best for you, even when we can't see the future per se, right? And so the 24 hours was, it was kind of a relief just because, you know, that was back the old CBA where there was really no rules as far as like, hey, you have to be here at 6 and you don't leave the building till 7. There were just some long days. And so it was just kind of a relief from that just to kind of take a break. Because just the competition with Britain was so intense and it was so hard. And you could punt, you know, on a Monday, or you could punt in a morning practice, and then you could punt in an afternoon practice. There were 2 days. There was no restrictions on any of that. So it was just
right.
Like, it was a grind, right? It's like, man, just I actually feel like this is kind of a bye week, and let's see if, you know, I can get picked up. And I just remember being on the golf course, and my agent called me, gosh, 6 or 7 times, and he's like, man, is there a 615 number that's calling you? I was like, yeah, where the heck is that from? He's like, that's Nashville, Tennessee. The Titans want you. I was like, oh, cool. All right, that works for me. you know, 24 hours later, after getting cut, I was on a plane. Wife took me to the airport, you know, with our 5-week-old, and she stayed back for a week and packed everything up in the house and did an awesome job. And, you know, I was in Nashville, and it was just a huge blessing.
I'd say that worked out for you.
Worked out pretty good.
That is for sure. Hey, real quick, with this last preseason game, it looks like Stonehouse, you know, may get some work in. You know, what do you think he's looking for? You know, just seeing how everything feels. Obviously, he's been punting and stuff in practice, but – you know, just kind of going through the routine of the game, maybe a field goal situation where he's got a hold. What do you think he'd be looking for?
Yeah, I think he's just looking to get out there again, right, to feel those nerves again, just the excitement of being back there behind like a live rush in a game-type situation that's not really anything that you can kind of emulate in practice, right? And so, you know, I think he's just probably just wants to try to get some rest before, you know, you're going to Chicago and the nerves that come with opening week, you know, on the road and then opening week here at home for the first home game. And so, you know, I thought maybe he'd, you know, get some holds in the past game or two. But I think with his injury and what he had, I'm sure there's probably some clearance, you know, whether it's on the Titans or whoever did his surgery, wherever that was at. And so obviously they're all in, you know, constant communication, and when the timing's right for him to get back out there, he'll get back out there. But I know, you know, you want to take advantage, especially, you know, the years that I did better, I actually got a really good amount of preseason reps. I would get, you know, 15 to 20 punts in the preseason, and I felt like I was prepared and ready to go for the regular season. And some of the years that I maybe struggled or kind of had a slower start, we maybe only punted six, seven times in the preseason. And so, you know, it kind of took a couple of games to get back into that game rhythm, just the speed, you know, cause not everybody rushes, in the preseason. It's kind of one of those, handshake hidden rules that you don't really come after it in the preseason. So, but the regular season, obviously it's on. So I'm sure he's itching to get back out there. You know, I've been talking to him. He looks great, feels great. And, you know, hopefully he can get some reps against the Saints.
Brett, real quick, I don't know if you saw this story, but Saturday, the Kansas City Chiefs game, their long snapper got hurt. They did not have a backup long snapper. So right after the long snapper got hurt, they grabbed a tight end, and they taught him how to long snap in 5 minutes, and he did fantastic. Does that blow your mind to hear that?
Honestly, a little bit, yeah. I mean, really, long snapping, it's difficult. If you were to ask Morgan Cox, there's a lot of little details that go into being extremely consistent and getting the laces right every time. But really, you know, really you're throwing the football upside down, right? So if you can find a guy, if you can find a guy that can throw decently, right, throw a good spiral, all you tell him is, hey, man, throw it, but now you got to look between your legs and do it. And so obviously Tobe and the guys in Kansas City, you know, I mean, that's pretty remarkable that they taught a guy just long snap. And then they set him in too, right?
Yeah, he did fine.
That's probably even more of a, I don't know, but you hear a lot of tight ends too that, you know, I think of like Mike Leach, right, who started here and he ended up snapping the league for 15, 16 years and he was a tight end. And it was like, hey, long snapper's hurt, who can snap? And he's like, well, I mean, I'll give us a whirl. Next thing you know, he plays for 16 years. So
didn't that happen? Didn't Bo get hurt in a game one time and somebody had to go in and snap? Or am I making that up?
No. We were at Indianapolis and Baronis. I think we tried like a 58-yarder at Indy and Kenny Amato went down there. And I think Gary, what was his last name? Barnett or the linebacker for Indy he cracked his helmet. So Kenny got a concussion, cracked the helmet. It was the last play right before halftime. And so I went out there at halftime and I'm thinking, where's Kenny? Like, where's my long snapper? And I didn't see that he got absolutely smoked, right? I was watching the returner. And so all of a sudden, I think it was Kevin Matthews, right? Backup center. He comes out and he's like, hey, Brett, so Kenny got a concussion. I'm snapping in the second half. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, I haven't done this since college. It's like, all right, let's do it, right? So, and I think we had like, that was back when I think Peyton Manning was there and it was, you could have a great punt, a terrible punt, and it was a fair catch, get Peyton on the field, let him do his thing. So I think we had three punts in that second half and it turned out just fine.
By the way, the original, the backup long snapper for the Chief is Kelsey, but he was out of the game and didn't have his uniform on when all that happened. So they do have a number two, and they pressed this young man into action to get out there and do it, and he did fantastic. So that is wild.
Hey, I'm telling you what, like there's guys, you know, Luke Rhodes in Indy, linebacker converted to, you know, snapper, and the next thing you know, the Chiefs are going to be like, hey, man, this, you know, we might keep him on the practice squad and teach him to snap. I'm telling you. It's with 16 guys on your practice squad now, you can afford to keep maybe a linebacker, a tight end, or somebody that can snap and, you know, kind of teach them and groom them just in case.
Love it. Yeah. Great stuff, Brett. Appreciate it as always. And we're going to be doing this regularly, so we'll talk next week.
Yep. Enjoy PNC Park. It's a beautiful place. Wish you were going to Cincinnati to get some skyline, but, you know, Pittsburgh's pretty good. So yeah, enjoy it.
I'm sure I'll have some good food there, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, man.
All right, take care.
See ya. Brett Kern joining us here on the program, and he will join us every Monday usually at 10 as a part of our Reaction Monday. So looking forward to Mondays with Brett once again. Chasing Big Joe, there's something that we knew was going to be released soon. It is now available to watch, and I'm curious if Nashville Titans fans, if you're going to watch. I'll tell you about it coming up next. Okay. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You know, kids today don't appreciate the classics, and Nick does. This is one of the classics. I wish this was still it.
No kidding, man.
Like, I'm ready to run through a wall. I mean, this is one of the newer versions, too. Like, I used to,
real quick. Team Faith or Team Carrie?
Can I say Team I Don't Care?
Sure.
I mean, this is what I want.
I'm going, if you had to pick between those
two.
If
I had to pick between the two, I'd probably go in Carrie.
I'm going Team Faith, 100%.
That's fine.
Because Carrie changed it. I mean, you know.
Yeah, she tried to do one of her songs, and then it flopped, and so it went back to.
Yep. So
I hate myself for loving you. In fact, Joan Jett was in it one year. which was pretty cool.
Good tune. So team faith. All right, what you got, man?
So with real quick on the, are you ready for some football? So when I hit that age of, you know, I was
puberty.
I was probably like 12.
28.
So, I'm trying to be serious for a second. Will you just let me tell the story?
That's your fault. It's on you. You know that. All right, go. All right, you hit.
So this would, you know, I kind of realized I wanted to get into this broadcasting, you know, what have you in sports. And I used to like imagine that song would play, like Hank would play, and then the Monday Night Football theme would hit, and yeah, I'd be at a stadium and, you know, announce it or whatever. So
why did you try for the Titans PA a few years ago?
I don't know. And I think I was busy here.
And should have really shocker. You should have done it with Hope Hines' voice. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nissan Stadium. Hope Hines, everybody. Could have done that. You could have done Keith Jackson.
Yes, indeedy.
You could have done that one. You could have done Hannibal Lecter.
Tick tock. Senator, love your suit.
All those. No, here, this, in a serious note. So today, the Steve McNair documentary has been released on Netflix, and we just watched the trailer. I have chills because they have the 911 call. And I mean, and look, I know these are a lot of things that we've heard and we've talked about, but it's one of the, you know, things in our city that just has more questions than answers.
It of always
what,
will.
Of what actually happened that night.
Yeah.
And I think there's people that know, but I don't think we'll ever truly know the truth.
Yeah.
You know, that what happened. But Untold, the murder of Steve McNair, of Air McNair, the murder of Air McNair. It's been 15 years since Steve's death. Jeff Fisher is featured in it. There are several others. Somebody you worked with at Channel 2.
Amy Napier Viteri is in there, yeah.
Yep, so she's featured in it. Like, they showed a clip of her and John Dwyer, you know, right?
So that day, Amy called me and like, hey, here's what's going on. And I was like, what? And then we talked, and just she needed phone numbers of people and information. And John was there. John, I think Fisher was in Iraq, like on a USO tour, so you could get hold of him. And it was just, for me that day, I was hosting the Franklin fireworks. Yeah. I've been down there that morning.
It was July 4th.
July 4th. And I went back to work and got a phone call at 1 o'clock and said, hey, there's a report that McNair had been murdered. And I was like, what? And then then another call came in 30 seconds later from somebody that knew Steve well. And when I saw that number popped up, I was like, he's been murdered.
Yeah.
I mean, this friend of mine and him and Steve were really tight.
That was the first, maybe not the first, but like I was in college. I was actually working that day. For whatever reason, Dad decided to open on the 4th of July. I don't really know why, but
it's all right.
So we were open, and I'd gone home. I'd been sick. Like, I wasn't feeling well. So I went home, and I'm laying on the couch, and Twitter wasn't a thing yet. I think it maybe had just started, but it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't what it is now. Facebook was still, you know. And so I'm laying on the couch, and I'm watching TV, and nothing's on TV at this point. And I'm on Facebook, and I see one of my friends posts, I can't believe it, RIP Mac 9. And I'm like, Mac 9? And then I see another one that's like, holy crap, Steve McNair, please, I hope this isn't true. And I'm like,
oh, it spread like wildfire.
I'm like, wait a minute. And then just like that, the TV breaks in.
Yep.
And you can just see the look on everybody's face of just like, I can't believe I'm about to say what I'm about to say. Like, Steve McNair has been murdered.
It was. And for that also, so it's a 4th of July. It's a holiday.
Yep.
So this is kind of a sub story. It has nothing to do with McNair murder. But you had to hire, these networks had to hire satellite truck operators immediately. And they're all on vacation. These guys made tens of thousands of dollars. Because you had to bring them here. So all these satellite trucks had to come to town on that afternoon, and they didn't know where to park because you can't park down on 2nd Avenue where the condo was, and it just took off. And then by that afternoon, it was something. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was not amazing. It was surreal how everything happened so fast for what had gone on, and it's something I'll never, ever forget.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely...
So what do you think they're going to... Are they going to show something new, do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, again, but it's one of those things, like, I'm going to watch... Like, I'm ready to watch it now.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's one of those things that I think... Because there's so much unknown with it, or conspiracy theories or what have you, that it's never not going to go away. Like it's never, right. it's always going to, we're always going to sit here and go, you know, what happened? What, you know, is everything as it appears? Cause I don't think everything's I think.
Good. Question everything. You should.
Yeah. And I mean, like the timeline and. Like they play the 911 call in this trailer, and it's like you can definitely hear the shock in their voice, but at the same time it's kind of like there's some time gaps and
keep going.
Take you long, like it's just things don't add up. There's just some stuff that don't add up and
question everything.
Yeah, so. But what would like when it hit you that this is what it was, like what kind of went through your head? Somebody that had covered him and knew him and, you know, those things.
This sounds terrible. He liked to party.
Sure.
He liked to have a good time. And then when I saw when Amy called me and then the other line came through of a friend of McNeil, I knew then. I was like, oh man. It And you don't want to say like it caught up with him, but you know, the nightlife and the fun and everything, and you just kind of like, oh man, you're out all the time, you're having a good time, you're partying all the time, and this is how it's going to end. And I was shocked. I wasn't surprised. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I was shocked, but I was or surprised, but I wasn't shocked.
Either right, because there's, you know, and as I've gotten in these circles, and I mean, look, there was a, he was a great man, in what he did on the field and what he did off the field with his charities, and
yeah,
you know, I know he was a good father, and look, I think he was a good husband, but he did have some discretion.
And that's a problem. Great point, Chase, is the moral conflict for a lot right. of Titans fans. A friend of mine said, love the sinner, hate the sin.
Right, right.
And that summed it up perfectly. Again, we're not perfect. Nobody nope. is. But that's something, and that's the moral compass and conflict we have with Steve McNair. We yeah. all do. And if you say you don't, you're lying to yourself.
Right. And we all have that. That's why I bring up, you know, if there's ever a discussion, if he's a Hall of Famer, that I know, and John McClain laid this out of like, there, you know, it's on the field. That's what you should look at. But do people look at the circumstances surrounding his death?
100%.
And the circumstances are he was having an affair. And I mean, that's mm-hmm. fact. And so, does that play into how people think? It shouldn't, but does it? And I think it does.
I had a pro athlete tell me that night, who was going to remain anonymous, and another media member was with me, who said that Saturday night, because it happened Friday night was the murder, we found out about it Saturday, said that Saturday night there were a lot of athletes that were calling their girlfriends that night and telling them goodbye.
Yeah.
I will never
and look,
ever forget that.
I think a lot of that happened.
Yep.
So, but anyway, I'll be watching it, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it more for sure. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. On our text line, DermanWillsonCountyHoney.com, you asked Team Faith or Team Carey. Al says, Team Faith, 300%.
That's a lot of percents there. Can't go over 100.
No, he's like very adamant about
faith. He's very adamant. I just like the song was, I don't know, I liked it. It was just had the beat going, and it's then they changed it, and I was like, man, I'll pass on this.
What, this song?
No.
The
Carrie Underwood song.
Yeah, I got you. I'm a fan of that. Yeah. Well, we've waited all day for Sunday night.
That's right. So thank you, Al, for that backup of can you find that? Do you mind, Dr. Crane, finding the Faith Hill, the Sunday Night Football Open?
I sure can.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
I have Carrie Underwood already set, but I can get Faith Hill.
I'll play Carrie if you want to.
You guys don't do
we'll sample. All right,
side
play,
by side.
Play, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Carrie. Feels good.
Not bad. But that's not the one she changed it to.
No.
Okay.
Sunday night. That was her song, Something Bad.
Yeah. I could see you and me at Decades, downtown dancing.
I used to love Decades.
Ricky on the stage, taking his shirt off. And then we'll do Team Faith now.
Dr. Crane doing a great job.
Dr. Crane's the best.
The part. The little Al set up. I like this.
A little old school.
Day.
Oh, yeah. No, this is good. Oh, yeah. And she had this platform.
Much better.
Okay. We want it too.
How did she look cute, Nick?
Everyone does, right? Television, baby.
That's right, man.
See, I used to love like the does this have the end like when it with the NFL lives on NBC and then it hits the music and Al brings it in. Like, I used to love that. I still do, but with Al, because Al could just set it up so well.
Oh, it was so good. Production value
this
was
is great radio,
1,000%.
I'm sure,
it's all right, man. We're talking football. I mean, people remember that stuff. It was really good.
Here we go.
Big front page.
Yes.
Yeah. Well done.
So the Sunday, this is also a debate. Like the actual themes of like the dun, 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 dun. Is the Sunday night theme better than the Monday night theme now?
Not a chance in hell.
I agree. I'm still pro Monday night, but the
depends
Sunday night
on the
theme,
era.
The Sunday night theme is pretty damn good.
It is.
Like when those drums come in and then Al or now Mike Tirico.
Yeah.
Welcome to Nissan Stadium in Nashville.
Yeah. 5353 says, isn't Hank the best one?
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of retire Hank to the rafters.
Yeah.
Hey, Hank Jr. listening out in Henry County, Paris, Tennessee. Appreciate you, Bo Cephas.
Remember they fired him because he said something dumb.
He did say something dumb. That's right.
And then they brought him back, but they brought him back with Florida Georgia Line. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Oh, my God.
They were like, hey, girl.
Oh, Lord. I'm so glad they broke up. Ugh.
Why?
You really are. You've celebrated.
They were awful. Florida Georgia Line were
their house
awful.
Closed, too. Now it's like Laney Wilson's.
Yeah. Awful.
So what you're telling me is when you're, you know, walking down the street and you just down Broadway and you hear a little bit of Florida Georgia Line, you're just like, oh, my God.
I told
God.
You.
He can't, like, he breaks into a sweat.
Dr. Grant, I told you. Him. We were at the Omni. I had to go to the bathroom, and they were playing Florida Georgia Line over the
I
speaker.
I do remember this now.
And I was like, just take me now, Lord. Just take me now, and I'm done. I can't I had nowhere to go. I was like, I had nowhere else to go, and they're playing Florida Georgia Line. I said, that's my purgatory. So I've been to purgatory.
Okay.
And I escaped. Praise the Lord.
Yes, you did. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is. And celebrity birthdays put a bow on this beautiful show here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Oh, this isn't the good one. This is the old one.
That's one of the trumpets. I'm sorry.
They're trying hard.
I fumbled the bag.
I like the effort.
Okay. I was going to do this whole on the banks of the Cumberland River, an AFC South matchup between the Titans and the Colts. Tonight on Sunday Night Football. There you go.
Real quick, Tennessee Vol football, I've announced Checker Neyland, and like everything else, Checker Neyland is now sponsored by Pilot. Checker Neyland, presented by Pilot, takes center stage for the Vols SEC home opener against the Florida Gators on October 12th. Checker Neyland showcases Tennessee's iconic checkerboard pattern, blah, blah, blah. When Tennessee goes Kentucky November 2nd, it'll be the third annual Champions Weekend presented by Pilot. That weekend, teams and individuals who won SEC and NCAA championships during specific years are welcome back to Rocky Top. Checker Neyland against Florida on October the 12th. I thought, why are you not doing it the next week?
Is that
Alabama? Why are you not checkering against Alabama? And I think I know why. Same reason you play a certain team for homecoming, because you want to win.
Yeah.
To me, this shows that.
You know what, though? For Alabama, I do everything just the normal. White helmet, orange top, white bottoms.
Nope. Orange pants, baby.
No, don't. Nope.
Mm-mm. Against Alabama?
No, sir.
Go all orange.
No, sir.
Like they used to do. All orange.
I wouldn't do that.
White pants are so ugly. Give it all, man.
That's that's an iconic look.
Every fan base besides Tennessee hates the all orange. I'd wear all orange all the time just to piss you off.
It would piss me off. No, I like the orange top, the white bottom, the white helmet.
He's mad.
I mean, it's fine to do. You can do all orange.
Do whatever I want.
But we're going to fight. We're going to go play in the fire hydrant. Fight.
Somebody's about to get checkered in here.
Yeah. Oh. You're about to get checkered. Right. That's gonna, know what? Save us, Nick. Tell us what day it is.
Before we go to what day it is, I finally need to redeem myself. So, Chase, please do the honors.
On the banks of the Cumberland River, an AFC South matchup between the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday Night Football. Big Joe Dubin alongside Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the sidelines. We'll check in with him in a second. Joe, what a matchup we have tonight.
We really got a good game tonight. And until it's going to come down to whoever scores the most points will probably end up winning the game.
Did you get that from the Unathletic?
I did.
You know what? Back. What day is it? You can let that play. I mean, that's fine. Do you, man?
We got trumpets all over the place. Yes. Today we have on the first list is International Day of Medical Transporters. So
okay.
Good for that.
It's good.
Let's see. National Accessible Air Travel Day. So go fly somewhere, I guess. National Bacon Lovers Day, if you like bacon.
Every day, baby.
There you go.
I love bacon.
Also have National Chocolate Pecan Day. Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan. This I'm not a fan of. National Hawaiian Pizza Day. It's not a thing. Not a thing. Argue with me all you want.
Wait, what's not a thing?
National Hawaiian Pizza Day. That's not a thing.
Why?
Hawaiian pizza. Pineapples do not belong on pizza.
Oh, we're going to fight. Pineapples are allowed on pizza.
No.
Do whatever they want.
Pineapple on pizza is amazing.
Dr. Crane, do you know how Americans ruined Italian food? What did we do? What'd we add to it?
Put American foods on it?
We added meat.
No, I mean.
Because Italian food is about the sauces.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like on pizza, they have, you know, salami, mortadella. They have all the good
mortadella.
Stuff.
Mortadella.
Yeah.
Nani.
Yeah.
Give me your opinion on this. She's like, Nicholas, be quiet. I'm watching The Godfather.
Honestly, that's valid.
I'm watching my stories.
You're not wrong there. Days of Our Lives.
Did she ever call them her stories?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother would say. I'm watching my stories.
There's an old movie that she actually was featured in her hometown in Sicily. I don't know who found this, but she goes, that's me. That's me. I was like,
awesome.
Is that you?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was her. So she was not a movie
star. Do you get smacked if you besmirch Frank Sinatra's name in your house?
Yeah. It's like Padre Pio.
Like, how dare you do that to me, Nicholas? You're like, I'm a nanny. I'm a sorry. Just not in the mood for a crooner today.
My cousins Luigi and Mario call, and they're just like, hey, we're at the front door. Let us in, please. Lasagna now.
We need a lasagna.
Last couple on the list here, we have National Lemonade Day and then National Radio Day. So,
hey.
There you go.
You know what you should do for National Lemonade Day? You know those little kids put up lemonade stands?
Mm-hmm.
Buy lemonade and don't tip.
You're terrible.
Can we set Dr. Crane up with a lemonade stand out here?
That'd be fun.
That would be so fun. What's Nick doing? He's Trying to make a little extra.
Eliminator, please. Eliminator. Limoncello.
Hey, Nikki, how much you make today? Oh, Nani, I made 85 cents. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. We ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. First birthday, Nashville guy, Robert Plant. Oh. How old is Robert Plant?
80.
85.
76. The very unfriendly Al Roker. How old is Al Roker? Dealt with him at Channel 4, not a fan. Al Roker.
77.
80.
70. Although the Seinfeld episode of TV Guide's pretty funny. Kei Hu Kwan, that was in Indiana Jones movie. He won an Academy Award a few years ago for Everything, Always, Someplace at Once, whatever it is. He's like, well, Dr. Jones.
Oh, is he the little kid?
Yeah. Yep.
What do you call a short round?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so that was Temple of Doom. 83. I'm going to say he's 55.
63.
54. Chases up 1-0.
Did math.
Good job, buddy. Fred Durst.
Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst, 50.
53.
54. We're tied at 1. Well done. Andrew Garfield, the actor. Wasn't he Spider-Man?
Yeah.
And he was in a social movie with Facebook, whatever it was called. Andrew Garfield.
41.
43.
41 exactly. Chase up 3-1. Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato is 37.
34.
32. It's now 3-2, Chase. News anchor Connie Chung, married to Maury Povich.
67.
68.
78. Rudy Gatlin of the Gatlin Brothers lives here in town. Hey, Rudy.
78.
80.
72. Singer-songwriter John Hiatt.
70.
74.
72. That's a push. Actor Billy Gardell from Mike and Molly in the Ozempic commercials. And he's lost 1,000 pounds.
52.
56.
55. We're tied at 3. All right. Don King is still alive, according to my list. How old is Don King?
86.
Ooh. 90.
93. We're tied at 3. Greg Nettles, former Yankees third baseman, Padres. Greg Nettles.
Nettles, 61.
58.
80 years old.
Oh.
Quinn Buckner, former IU All-American on the 76 national championship team. Quinn Buckner.
79.
Ooh. 72.
70. Knicks up 4-3. Two more. Andy Bennis, former Major League pitcher Andy Bennis.
57.
61.
He's 57. Chase up 5-4. Final one. Here we go. Todd Helton. How old is Todd Helton?
Todd Helton is 50.
Ooh, 52.
He's 51. That's a push.
Oh, man.
Chase wins 5-4. What a game. Good job, boys.
Thank you very much. That'll do it for us.
All right, well done. To our guys out there, listen, we love you. You're doing great, man. We love that you're reaching out, talking to people. 988 on your cell phone. If you need to talk to anybody, know that we love you. It's okay not to feel okay. Please know that. But please know you need to talk to somebody. We're here for you. And know that you are tremendously loved. God has you on this earth for a specific purpose that only you can fulfill, and know that we love you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, D-Mace. Coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.